Bridgerton? Hi, this is my actual dream.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Wonderful party, Your Grace.
A triumph best of the season.
I didn't know the Duchess who plays the court jester.
Well, I'm hilarious.
Lord Burton approaches.
Oh, it's so close of heartbreak.
Scandal.
There's a Childer at work on this planet, and I've been paid good money to find you.
And plot twists.
Okay.
What could be better than a wedding?
Spoilers.
Discussing Network presents Discussing Who, a Doctor Who podcast. I'm Kyle Jones, and I want to welcome back, and I would say appropriately for this episode, Mr. Brown, Mr. Shackelford, attend. Welcome. Clarence Brown, how are you?
I am happy to be here. Totally didn't get the joke, but I often don't get a lot of jokes from you, Kyle, so hey.
At least we're consistent.
Par for the course, man. No, I'm doing well, man. Good to be here, man. And, you know, as always, glad to talk about some new Who. Some new Who.
And welcoming back Lee Shackelford. Mr. Shackelford, how are you?
Very well indeed. Very well. And glad to be here with you.
So we are only two episodes away from the finale. Well, actually, not the finale. We are at the finale. This episode is two
episodes. Because it's a two-parter. Yeah.
Exactly. So we are here to the end of this season of Doctor Who. I have a quick question for the both of you. Before we get into the story that we're talking about, we had eight episodes this season. I know we've got a Christmas special coming up, and you know, you could say nine episodes if you want to count this current 2023 Christmas special, but regardless, fewer episodes than we've had before. Do you think that it would have been served better to have had a two-parter in here, that if we had more episodes? What do you think? Either one of you, what do you think? Like, if any of them, do you think it would have better fleshed out the character of Ruby Sunday or the Doctor and Rose's relationship? Oh. Or not Rose, Ruby's relationship?
Yeah.
Thoughts?
More is always better, right? Right? But I do think it's an advantage not to have a lot of filler or fluff episodes. So from that aspect, if the story is tight, concise, and they tell the story they're trying to tell for the length of this season, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, what I would have liked is a longer season, that is with more episodes, because it just takes the pressure off individual episodes.
Yes.
And so these have been under the microscope, I think, to a greater degree than they would ordinarily. Mm. And this is a new showrunner with a whole new deal about the show that I think they feel a new audience. And wow, so it means that every new and daring thing that they're trying looms super large, where it might have been lost in the shuffle otherwise. I don't know.
Yeah, very good point. And another thing, you know, if you're looking at the bigger picture from the tenure of a doctor, and I never really thought about it before, but in an ensemble where you've got four or five main characters, you know, you've got more characters to show, you know, to carry the burden of an episode. Right. Whereas I think this season, with the continuous talk about the two episodes that were Dr. Light because of him shooting his previous responsibilities, you know, made me think of more of Doctor Who. For the most part, the setting changes. The TARDIS still is a setting. Yes, you know, it's a character in the show, but the Doctor and the Companion really carry the show every single episode. So would I rather have eight episode seasons with four or five of the same Doctor, as opposed to 13 or 12 episode seasons with three seasons of a Doctor? I think I would take eight episodes times five, as opposed to maybe 12 times three, personally.
Hmm. Well, I think my math is bad, but
I'm not sure I followed that either. But
well, I'm bad with math. So anyway,
I will say that when Grace says, as long as there's no two-part space babies, and Nicole mentions that it would be good to have more time to see the Dr. Ruby relationship get fleshed out a little bit more. So I do agree with both of those points that, yeah, maybe a little more time wouldn't have been all that bad, you know.
A comment from Darla McFerrin on our post this last couple of days. And Darla says, by the way, I am super glad to have found this podcast and I'm glad to hear all of your respectful opinions and ideas of Doctor Who. Not going to ever be able to join your chat, unfortunately, but starting to see your post pop up in Facebook gives me joy. I think I went back and listened to all of your past episodes of Discussing Who, and I super enjoy getting to watch and listen along with the three of you regularly. Keep it up. Love when you say, what say ye? So, with that being said, if you have not seen Rogue, put us on pause. Go out. Watch the episode. Come back, because from this moment forward, spoilers.
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 Alrighty, the spoiler warning has gone out, and we are back to review Rogue. Rogue is the sixth episode of the 2024 series of Doctor Who, first streaming slash airing on the 7th and 8th of June, 2024. It starred Shuti Gatwa as the 15th Doctor and Millie Gibson as Ruby Sunday. Lee Shackelford, I'll start with you. Summary view, what say ye?
I've been looking forward to our, you know, our period costume pieces, you know, anywhere we're going to go. So I've enjoyed being in the 60s earlier in the season. And so it was great to be in Regency era England. And so I just love that. This reminded me a lot of Family of Blood, which, you know, I love. So, but without feeling derivative. So it had the same things in it that I love about Family of Blood. So I really enjoyed it. It's just, I know that there's moments in this that are controversial, but I just found it a very entertaining hour of television. What say ye, Mr. Brown?
Yes, indeed.
Oh man, this is the second episode in a row where I had to really think about it. Is it a good episode? Did I enjoy it? And let me just say first off up top that my issue is not the two the same sex issues with the episode that some people have. That's not my issue. I do have an issue with the Doctor and love interest sometimes. So for that, it was kind of hard for me to get my head around. But other than that, I have to say a beautifully written story. Well-crafted, beautifully shot. Some of the ideas in this episode were, I think, were really strong. And just kind of Rogue being this kind of this James Bond-esque savant character that is just kind of cool. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of great things in this episode. I think I really enjoyed it. But still, you know, looking to you guys to help me frame this episode just a little bit better. So I can't wait to get into the conversation.
Well, I have a theory, and we'll get into it in a minute, but I have a theory about the Doctor's romance. So let me say that was going to the beginning. I really enjoyed this episode. I love the 15th Doctor. I've said that, and I'll keep saying that. I had never watched Bridgerton until after watching this episode. But after watching the first episode of Bridgerton, and that's all I've seen, I will quote, this is so Bridgerton. You know, they did a lot of nods to Bridgerton, and, you know, that in itself was spot on. I agreed the Family of Blood reference. I enjoyed it. I had fun with it, and I've watched it several times since then, whether it's watching reactors on YouTube or watching it again myself, and very, very much enjoyed it.
Can I make a comment? I just posted in the chat. I want to just get you guys' ideas on it. You just recently watched Bridgerton. I've actively avoided Bridgerton at all costs. I only moderately know what it is. But to me, there's this kind of this fantasy take on maybe how the past was. And none of us truly know. We weren't there. How do you guys feel about maybe what felt more like a high drama fantasy take on this era that we see here in Doctor Who, because I know Doctor Who has not always been historically accurate, but it seems like they intentionally took liberties here just to make it Bridgerton-esque.
Uh-huh.
How do y'all feel about that?
Because entering the story, I thought people keep saying Bridgerton, but it's just Regency era England. I mean, this could be Pride and Prejudice. You know, I don't get why everybody's saying we're seeing it through that particular lens. And Lei Jin mentioned this in the chat here, too. They say I was a bit confused. Were they truly in Bath in 1813? And she says, as a Jane Austen fan, that world never looked like that in real life. Well, I wasn't there either, but but I think I know what you mean. It is definitely a stylized, poetic, looking back across the centuries, memory or imagination of what it might have been like. Huge Jane Austen fan here too, so that's what I was thinking. So a lot of the maneuvering, a lot of the, you know, women are there to basically be auctioned off to the highest bidder. You know, that's very much a part of the Jane Austen world. And so, you know, that's there. But is it the colorblind casting that people are questioning? Because that has become a thing across British historical drama right now. I don't know if you've noticed that. We just watched an Agatha Christie where her husband was black. You know, it's like, well, he wasn't in real life, but okay, let's roll with it. You know, it's that's just what we do now.
Yeah, I think it may be that in addition to like the high romance part of it, that's very Bridgerton, or at least I've been told. Again, I haven't watched it.
Neither have I. So, yeah, I'm just.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, Legion said this is cosplay festival. Yeah, and yes. I think that was kind of the point. Yeah, so.
Right. Well, having watched the first episode, no spoilers here because it's only the first episode, but the dance, the scandalous dance was in the first episode of Bridgerton. The Duchess and being the center of attention, there was a character that was the queen as opposed to the Duchess in Bridgerton. And one of the things that Bridgerton is known for is taking current music and playing it classically. And two of the songs that were played, Bad Guy by Billie Eilish, I believe is how you pronounce her name, and Poker Face by Lady Gaga, was played. So I think that's two of the tropes. And Nicole is spot on. Martha's mother is in Bridgerton, as well as the gentleman, Ben Miller, who was also in Doctor Who, but he was also the first inspector in Death in Paradise, is in Bridgerton.
You mean Martha's mother, who's just been canonized as being a companion mother? Isn't she isn't she the companion in that the cartoon that came out?
Maybe so.
The voice, she was the voice and the...
Was she? Was she the voice?
I thought she was. I could be wrong.
When we reviewed that episode, we agreed that she would be the first, you know, black companion. Because now, yeah, that's one of the things I was hoping we were going to get to. Richard E. Grant's Doctor is canon as of this episode.
We are, but real quick, before we do, I do want to mention, since I did say the Duchess, and talking about people that we have seen before, Indira Varma, she also played Susie Costello in Torchwood. So she is a Doctor Who alumni. Oh. She is also known from being in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And I do absolutely love the cosplay aspect. So let's talk about Rogue for a moment. Jonathan Groff, what do you think of Rogue's character overall, just on a summary level view? Rogue's overall character. Clarence, what say ye?
He's the coolest guy in the room, right? He's the guy that everybody wants to be. This cool ship, knows all the right things to say, is very suave, and very, you know, just a cool guy that you want to hang out with. And, you know, in some cases, don't want to be with. I really like this character. I think there's much more to the character than what we've gotten in this episode. And, you know, I may have issues with just how, and again, it has nothing to do with both of them being men, but just the Doctor, I don't know. I don't know what about the, it's just something about the relationship aspect in this episode that really, it was just weird to me. Cause I go back to Yaz and the doctor. I go back to companions like in a doctor. I don't know what it is about this episode, about it in particular, that that just doesn't feel right to me. But again, that being said, in the episode, great character. I actually love the interaction between the doctor and Rogue. I thought it all was beautiful. But yeah, I'm you guys have to talk it out with me because I'm really struggling here.
Well, I have to mention that what I've been seeing on social media is that people who are hating on him invariably misspell the word. So they're calling him Rouge. And it's an easy mistake to make, actually. But anyway, I think,
yeah, he was
like watching a different show. Yeah. No, I think Clarence and I may be having the same problem. And I take it back to the girl in the fireplace. The thing that's always bugging me about the girl in the fireplace, a story that I really enjoy, is that the doctor is, if I was understanding it right, prepared to leave Rose and Mickey behind because he's now smitten with somebody else. And it looks like that's what's happening here too. Like he's you know, telling Rogue, hey, come with me. I said, Ruby's still in there, you know. Yeah, Lei Chin says the doctor's hormones are front and center. They're not watching out for Ruby. So that's my only problem with it. I don't care if he's a man or not.
That time period takes the doctor in a different direction because the girl in the fireplace took, didn't it happen pretty much in that same era?
It's within 50 years, yeah. So
there you go. There's something about that era.
He needs to stay out of that.
Yeah, for real. It's something about this time period that says get a room.
The late 18th, early 19th century. You know,
something about the doctor's hormones in that time period just are in sync.
All the companions should be warned.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to the meeting, and I'll start by saying what I really liked about it. So when we get to the point where we've got the sonic screwdriver and he's getting the beeps and he goes up there and he's basically frame by frame standing the same way, and they have this back and forth of, what's your name? Just the doctor, just Rogue. And what I really liked how that was played. I just really liked that. Clarence, I think you were fixing to say something.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about Rogue that you have to love is that the doctor has finally met their match. Mm-hmm. You know, this Rogue is going toe-to-toe on, even from the single word name, you know, he's finally met his match and met their match. And just throughout the episode, always one up. You know, this is your dinky little ship. This is my ship, the big bird-looking ship over here. So, yeah, they definitely did an awesome job of making their interactions very playful, very fun. And I loved kind of the tit-for-tat turn to admiration between the two in the episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so what was your general thought, Lee, on the meeting of the two?
Oh yeah, that's a splendid scene. That's just wonderful, and I'm Clarence all the way. It's them each discovering, hey, you're better at this than I thought. Oh no, you're better at this than this is you. You're gonna do that. Well, how about I do this? You know, and they can't top each other. It's marvelous. Yeah.
You know, let's move to when we actually get aboard Rogue's ship, and we see when we get there, you've got this scene where he is basically Bond, molecular Bond, which I absolutely love.
Don't take my quote, man. You messed up my quote.
Sorry. I absolutely freaking love that. But what did you guys think of the banter in there? And then we'll go to the TARDIS, the alternate scene to that, which is the TARDIS scene. What did you guys think of the back and forth with them in the spaceship, not the TARDIS?
Oh, I thought that's what we were talking about.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I thought we covered that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let me also add real quick. In the spaceship, that's the point of the episode where it went from just kind of low level flirty to like, oh, get a room for me.
Yeah.
Because what's the song that he was singing or playing? He was just saying the words and looking right at him like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, that Hello. Was the Kylie Minogue song. And I thought
can't
I had
Can't Get You Out of My Head.
Yes, Can't Get You Out of My Head.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it was very direct and yeah. Yeah. The tension in the spaceship was on high alert. Let me just say that.
Yep. And you know, he played that very playfully. You know, I really like that. You could say that it was more seductively than playfully, but I will say it was playful. I liked the energy. Absolutely. Nicole says Rogue was more dorky than the Doctor to me. I agree with that.
I don't know.
But, well, we'll get to it when we get to the TARDIS.
Oh, Nicole raises a good point. Now, Kylie Minogue and Astrid Peth both exist in Doctor Who.
Yes. I so wanted him to look up and say, Astrid?
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
I know that voice.
I know that voice. So Dr. Body Rolling was the best thing ever. Lei Jian, I totally, immediately, and 100% agree with you. We then see faces. One of the things in Doctor Who I absolutely love anytime you see the faces, but then you get that WTF moment when you see that's Richard E. Grant.
I don't know that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you have to look at it and back it up and say, ooh, that's the Great Intelligence. That's Richard E. Grant.
Yeah.
The Shalka Doctor.
Yes.
Cannon.
From Scream of the Shalka. Yes. And by the way, his companion, that was voiced by Sophie Okonedo, who was not Martha's mother, but she was Liz 10. Maybe that's what we're thinking of. Yeah, right.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, Shalka Doctor, canon, thoughts and why and how? I have a thought.
When Grace says, one day Peter Cushing will make the cut. And my friend Brett Harrels made the same observation. It's like, hey, where's Peter Cushing?
That would have been so cool.
It's going to happen.
All right. So what do you think? How and why and thoughts?
Well, what was the, I have only watched it once. Was the Fugitive Doctor in that circle as
yes,
well?
Yes, she was. Okay. So was the war.
So we, and I expected that, but yeah. I think what we're doing is taking the opportunity to reappraise canon a little bit. If we're going to say, okay, then the Fugitive Doctor is definitely an incarnation of the Doctor, then just because this was Scream of the Shalka was an animated story doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So. Now we got Richard E. Grant, too. Oh, yeah, and both faces of David Tennant, reminding us that that's not the same doctor. So, yeah. But, yeah, maybe Peter Cushing one of these days.
So, how?
Yeah.
Or could it be, if none of this is real, that maybe whoever's reading these airwaves is already reading whatever that was. I don't know.
So, yeah.
I think, you know, the doctor can certainly, since we've had the Chibnall recontextualizing what the doctor has been, certainly there could have been other instances of the doctor that we haven't seen that may have been forgotten. We saw what do we call the doctor?
The fugitive doctor.
The fugitive doctor. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We saw her in there as well. So who knows?
I say we've already had an explanation in story in the giggle that explained it when the toy maker says to the doctor, I made a jigsaw of your history. How do you like it?
Well, that's true.
So, you know, that was how they incorporated the timeless child aspect of making a jigsaw. Well, that fits into a jigsaw puzzle of adding in another incarnation where... Does that incarnation fit? Jigsaw.
There we go.
So we move on after that. He lets the doctor go, and they move on to the TARDIS. He sings the song from Willy Wonka, which is a nod to Shuti making a statement before he got the role that he told his agent that he would be interested maybe in playing the doctor or Willy Wonka. And so there's kind of a nod there, which I thought was cool.
Got it both ways.
Yep. So I have a theory. So we're going to talk about the TARDIS scene of the two of them in the TARDIS. But the doctor says something while they're in the TARDIS that makes me wonder if the doctor's flirtation was not just because they were in the 1700s or in that century or whatnot, but that the doctor was a little suspicious of him and was trying to put him at ease. And that was how the flirting was him putting him at ease. One reason I say that is because the previous scene when they are in Rogue's ship, he makes reference to there's a lot of paperwork because we have a new boss. We've heard of the boss before with Beep the Meep saying, just wait till I tell the boss. So we've had that reference there. And when they get into the TARDIS, when Gallifrey is mentioned, the doctor doesn't say it's gone like he had told Ruby just a few episodes before. He says, maybe I'll take you there one day.
But it is a time machine.
It is a time machine.
That's one of the things I've always wondered about was, anyway.
So is that just clever writing? Is that sloppy writing? Is that laying the groundwork for future something? And the reason I say the reason I say that is, you know, what could that be? I mean, I don't know. Thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know if I even looked that deep into it. So what you're saying right now is kind of new to me. I really didn't go that deep into it. That he was trying to put on the show to get more information, which I think that's what he was doing at first anyway. When he left Ruby on the hall floor, he was going there to, I think that's why the flirtation originally began, because he was trying to get more information. But I didn't really read into it more once it got in the TARDIS of that particular part that you were saying.
All righty. So moving on, we've seen the faces. We've seen, what did you guys think of the dance scene?
Oh, that's so Bridgerton? I don't know.
it was really lovely.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, one of the things about this period that's attractive is that these dances are so, from our perspective, they're so stiff and they're so formal. Well, you see this in good plays, good productions of Shakespeare too, when they've really researched the period dance, is that it's also courtly and everybody has sort of specific places they're supposed to be. So if there's anything meaningful that's passing between them, it's going to happen in their faces. And so in this case, we're reading all the subtlety of body language and things in their faces. Just fantastic.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. Indeed. So what did you guys think? We've not really talked about the Childers any. So what did you guys think of the concept of aliens who were basically cosplaying?
Cosplaying soul-sucking shapeshifters?
Yeah.
I find that very interesting. We've maybe not here particularly, but I know we've made the joke before of, you know, what are those people, what are those aliens going to say when they tune in our television and see this reality TV? What are they going to think of us? So this is a case where they've tuned into our drama programming on Netflix, by the way. This is a Disney show. they've tuned into our programming and they have come to be a part of the chaos or the drama. And very interesting there. I thought just that concept of them coming to experience what's going on down here, I thought that was pretty interesting. Them as far as a villain, it reminded me a lot, and I know they're very different, but the family of blood, as Lee mentioned, it reminded me a lot of that episode. And this idea that they're here just to have fun and blend in, I thought it worked really well. And I don't know about the bird aspect of how they look. I thought, it was very Doctor Who in that aspect, but all really, really well done. You know, it's just another piece of the writing in this episode that I thought was really good.
And you know what? I really liked how the birds looked overall, the different styles of them. One of them to me looked like the Twitter bird. I was thinking that's what happened to the Twitter bird after Twitter became X.
I appreciate that in the chat, Nicole and Leigh Jen are talking about the fact that they keep saying cosplaying, but really what they're doing is live action role play, which is not the same thing. But it's probably true that for the audience, if they said they're LARPing, the most, I don't know, a lot of mundanes would have said, what? So
let me ask you guys this question. Do we believe that there's something going on with television?
It sure seems like it. We're referring to it a lot. So I don't know.
What do you think, Clarence?
Spoiler, I saw The Next Zone, and it is it too much of a spoiler to say we saw that? It looked like
we've already seen the image of the Legend of Ruby Sunday. We've talked about the preview image card that had television cameras.
Yeah, that it looked like they were standing in the television studio in The Next Zone at the end of this episode. So that seems like where it's going.
Well, the reason I bring that up, if you go back to Space Babies, you know, she mentioned Star Trek, and we see the people in Star Trek-y looking outfits. In The Devil's Chord, she mentioned Strictly Come Dancing, and then at the end in the dance, we've got two of the dancers from Strictly Come Dancing. So there's been several TV, and she, oh my Bridgerton, they're in the Bridgerton era.
And
so,
she mentioned Strictly again.
Yes.
In this one,
So just interesting, you know, how that keeps coming up.
A very Black Mirror-esque episode, last episode. So
yes, very much so.
Ties
in the chat says, Nicole says, it's all a dream. And I'm kind of, because that's such a worn out TV trope, and I'm really hoping that's not what's happening here. But even if it's all WandaVision,
what if Ruby is something like the god of stories?
I hope not. I don't.
Or something,
something.
But Connor Medlin, I think, is joining us for the first time, mentions several things that are just terrific. Welcome, Connor. Thank you for chiming in, reminding us, for one thing, that the Doctor almost, you know, left his companions behind or way back in the Aztecs. So it was the first Doctor who did that, kind of did that thing for falling in love. But Connor also points out that we've been hearing the name Susan Triad from back in the Giggle. Mel said they use Susan Triad technology. Susan technology, Susan tech, Sue tech. Is that where this is all going? The big bad from, that's Egyptian mythology, but also from pyramids of Mars. And you know, one of the things that's out there on social media is that, Russell G. Davis has a magazine cover mock-up on his office wall that we have accidentally glimpsed in interviews that has Susan Twist on it as Susan Triad, anagram of T-A-R-D-I-S. So,
Who knows?
But if she is somehow the TARDIS or something that the TARDIS is doing, I don't know. Interesting that the TARDIS was upset by the presence of a bounty hunter. We've had worse types inside the TARDIS.
The RTD. RTD has said that the sparks that we see in the opening credits and the way the TARDIS has landed has something. And if we remember from watching the Pyramids of Mars, Sutek was trying to get into the TARDIS, take over the TARDIS. Maybe that's the TARDIS trying to reject Sutek. Maybe.
Who knows? Yeah, Connor's reminded me that that in the Aztecs, the Doctor did put his companions first. So that's true. But I think we were sort of, we were made to wonder there for a while, but no, he's not going to leave them stranded in Mesoamerica anyway.
So we know at the end that we see Rogue sacrifice himself basically for Ruby, for the Doctor, and then says, "Find me." Do we think we'll see this character again? Is he gone? Thoughts?
I don't think the script would have him say, "Find me." If that wasn't supposed to be, you know, the beginning of a thread to follow, I don't know.
Clarence, what do you think?
I agree. Can I mention the fact that he's able to just knock Ruby off of the pad and replace her? I'm like, if he could have just did that, just knock her off. I mean, right. They probably said something, they explained it, but like, I didn't get that.
You're stuck unless you do it real fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then what the doctor needs is a lasso.
Or was it maybe because, and I want to say I heard somebody, and it may have been Tasha in Tasha's chat on after the snap yesterday that mentioned it. Maybe it was because he was holding the button.
That's possible.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't get the reason why. Another quick gripe. Think about the episode. We had the earrings that allow Ruby to dance, and then she's eventually able to fight off when she was attacked. That fight was like the worst thing I've seen. That fight was so terrible.
I like the idea of it, though.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I was brave because the doctor played it up. Don't go to battle mode.
Yeah.
We're going to see this later.
I was expecting Matrix or something.
This is going to be awesome, but
But if all of it's doing is suggesting things to your body, it doesn't immediately give you expertise. That's the way I would think of it, that it would, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, you know, okay, if I've got a bird person coming at me, hit them with a book or, you know. I don't know.
Bird person.
But yeah, that was... And again, the look of each one of them, I just can't say enough good things about how good, campy good the birds look.
Great job. Yeah. Great job.
I would definitely love to see them back again. So,
the Choldur.
All right. So we get to the end and we have the doctor and the hug, and then the doctor puts on the ring. Again, I don't trust Rogue completely. Because what if this ring was a tracking ring of something from the boss? Mm. That further into my, I'm not sure that I trust. And maybe the doctor knowingly puts that on because he's curious. Because if there's one thing I've learned about any incarnation of the doctor, he's thinking, or they're thinking, one step ahead of even the audience.
At least, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, and... we made a reference of me not liking Chibnall's writing earlier. Well, even with Chibnall's writing, Jody presented the doctor in a way of she was always thinking, she was always talking, she was blah, 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 blah. So even then, it was really, really, you know, fast.
So I have to mention what Wayne Grayson, and we haven't talked about this, but the person Rogue lost, that's another element. And when they were in the TARDIS, that the doctor actually kept coming back to him on. I kind of had the feeling that the person he lost would be important. Maybe if not somebody we know, somebody we will know in the future. But that's, for some reason, that element seemed important to me, the person he lost.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do we think about that?
Well, other than what I just said, I feel like it's going to come back somehow. Maybe... Because I kept thinking at the beginning of the season, we kept talking about the toy maker and his children and how they might play into the season. We've seen no more of that in this season after our second episode, or that we know of. So I was kind of wondering, like, who could this guy be? What connection could he have? It certainly seems like his companion. And maybe they were just doing it for dramatic effect, but it just felt like when he kept harking on, who did you lose? That would be something we come back to.
Mm.
Connor suggested it was probably Captain Jack. he does get around.
Nicole says maybe he lost Beep the Meep.
Beep the Meep.
I am the little Meep. Okay. I've been lost.
Yes. Poor Beep.
Poor Meep. But again, that goes back to my thinking. And maybe I am being a little bit too hard on the romance but I go back to the doctor meeting one of my favorite Doctor Who characters, and the first thing he says to River is, I hate archaeologists, and from his perspective, you know, and there's very adversarial relationship with River. So I just think that the doctor's was, I want to know what your angle is, and was trying to see, because if you look at it from the perspective of, if I want to put someone in front of the doctor that hits every beat, Rogue hit every beat, and it just was a little bit too convenient. And I think the doctor was playing along with it, not playing into it, not being played by it.
Interesting. Yeah.
Now maybe
he's on his guard.
I may be saying Rogue is the best thing since River Song. And I still think the actor did an awesome job of creating this brand new character. I just don't know yet if I trust him yet.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up River, because this relationship felt so right to the point we're in it, and the doctor is swept off his feet. Whereas with River, it seemed like it took us many, many episodes to come to terms with it. So just a very different way of approach to it in this episode.
And when Grace brings up something that I keep harping on, which is the doctor being a healed version of himself now, so maybe he's less guarded in his emotions and willing to put love out there. That makes very good sense.
And Nicole says Rogue is the Ronnie.
Interesting.
Hey, because why not?
Missy could be the master, a Rogue could be a Ronnie. Oh, that would actually be cool.
Because I was fascinated by the fact that here is this character, the only one in the episode who goes by a title except the doctor.
Yep.
And the doctor comments on that. You know what? Just the doctor? Just Rogue?
And
so isn't it that Gallifreyan thing?
And Rogue time travels too? I mean, we're assuming he time travels, right? Can't get you out of his head, your head, my head.
That's true. Very good point, Clarence. He had to get that somewhen. So
the doctor has the Doctor Who theme on his jukebox too. Yes. So I'm not sure. Music is being used in a very free-handed way on this show, but yeah.
Yep. And Lei Jin brings up a comment. Rogue ship looked a lot like a TARDIS inside. Maybe not the master, but the doctor named a bunch of names Gallifreyans have.
And we've heard others.
Speaking of the master, we know from one of the appearances of the Ronnie that the Ronnie and the master have worked together. Maybe the person that Rogue lost was the master.
Ooh, well, that would be poignant, wouldn't it?
That would indeed. So
yeah, I think there's a Reinhardt saying in the chat. He mentioned the master.
So there you go. All right. Well, gentlemen, any other items before we get into our favorite?
We've covered it for me.
All right. Clarence?
Nope. I think we hit it all.
All right. So favorite scene. Lee, I'll start with you. Favorite scene.
Well, it's got to be that battle of wits in Rogue's ship. That was just splendid. Those two actors are sparkling. It's fun.
Awesome. Clarence, what say you?
I was going to take the Cal Jones low-hanging fruit here and say the many ships, the many faces in the ship, because I know that usually is what gets you. So that's mine, the many faces that we see connecting.
All right, so since you took that one, I'm going to say the doctor dances was my favorite scene.
Yeah,
I just love him having fun and the fun aspect of the doctor. Totally like that. So that was my favorite scene.
And let me just add to that, I did not see the get on one knee, give the ring. I did not see that coming at all. So I think, again, just good writing. And weren't these the writers that wrote, and I think I got this from Tasha, didn't they write on Loki season one?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
Wish I knew their names. Let's see. Katie Heron and Brioni Redmond.
Favorite quote. Clarence, I'll start with you.
All right. This is a little long here, so let me pull it up. Lord Barton, you are a rake, a cad. You have dishonored my sister. Lord Galpin, remind me, to which dishonoring are you referring? The one in the kitchen, in the study, in the stables? You will marry her, sir. I have no such thing. Now, I am awfully bored of your shouting. I wish you to challenge me in a duel, please, sir. Then I'll shoot you dead. Wow, you really are wonderfully bad, aren't you?
That's all I got.
I want to be the bad guy.
Yes, I want to be the bad guy. All right, Lee, favorite quote.
Also a series of lines. Nice to meet you. I'm the doctor. Just the doctor. Just Rogue. Mm. Yeah. He's got you there.
So my favorite one was, we keep going because they can't. I thought that was, that's going to be one of those, you know, Doctor Who quotes that you'll see 15 Doctor quotes, 14 Doctor quotes. There you go. So they keep going because they can't. We keep going because they can't.
They can't.
Yeah. Did we mention a twist in this episode? Did we mention it?
The writing or the portrait was on the wall.
Yeah,
it was.
So once again, sometimes there's a twist in the middle.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I love Ruby just being so in awe of all of this drama and this tea going on around her. She couldn't get enough of it. I just thought that was fun for her. I thought she would be the one to fall in love in this episode. I really did. So I love that they kind of flipped it on its head.
That's true.
I hadn't thought about it, but I did too. All right. So for everyone in the chat, if you would like to give your ratings one out of somethings to five, before we get started, I will tell you that we did a poll on X, formerly Twitter, from the Birdman in the episode, and we had 54.1% five, 10.8% four, 5.4% three, and 29.7% one to two. So, we had over 50% out of five, but almost 30% out of one to two. So it was either you really kind of liked it or you really kind of didn't. So from Facebook, we get Kevin O'Brien giving it 3.5 shapeshifters out of five. Kath Stahl giving it 4 Captain Jack wannabes out of 5. Larry Irby giving 4.5 Kylie Minogue's out of 5. Eric Hurd giving it 3.5 spinnings out of 5. Morgan Lee gives it 2.5 deathly cosplays out of 5, but adds that while this may not have been her cup of tea, the costumes were fun. Janet Hall gives it 1 cosplays out of 5. Darla gives it 4 pure imaginations out of 5. Latasha Pierce gives it 4.95 Willy Wonka references out of 5. Jacinta Doyle Summers gives 4.5 I really enjoyed it out of 5. Katie Barber gives it 5 out of 5, adding that it looked beautiful and it was cool how different the bird faces were. And Bill McCann gives it 1 out of 5. So, Clarence Brown, what say ye?
Well, let me pick up the ones from the chat real quick, and then I will proceed with mine. Nicole gives us 4 Shaka Doctors out of 5. Connor Medlin gives us 1 out of 5 Weakest of the Earth for him. That's fair enough. 3.5 Neck Twitches out of 5 for Lei Jin. 4.25 Dice out of 5 for Windgrace. And again, 4.8 Kylie Minogue's out of 5 for Windgrace.
I have to give Larry Reinhardt actually went up during our chat. He started in with a 4.5 and has increased to a 4.8. Woohoo.
Indeed. And I will give this episode 3.75 vexels out of 5.
All right. Lee, what say ye?
I'm giving it 4 out of 5 triangular transdimensional portals.
I really enjoyed this, and I'm going to go back to my favorite scene and give it 5 dancing doctors out of 5.
Yeah.
So there you go. And that's all right then.
Can I bring up something else from the chat? Because I think this is certainly on target.
Please.
We didn't talk about Ruby a whole lot in this story. I hadn't thought about it until Clarence brought it up, but this would have been a great story for her to fall in love with. She's already kind of in love when she walks in the door, right? And then we sort of turn that on its head. Connor in the chat points out that Susan Foreman, her last appearance on Doctor Who was on the 26th of December, 1964.
Mm-hmm.
We're establishing in this series that Ruby is left on the church door 40 years to the day after that.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Well, all I know is our great and wonderful, in my opinion. RTD says, if there's basically, I know I always, and paraphrasing here, I know I always pump up a finale, but if there's any finale you don't want to miss and don't want to be spoiled and you want to stay up and watch it as soon as you can, watch this finale.
This is it.
You're going to be screaming.
Are they dropping both at once?
No, they're not. But I know they're going to be in cinemas in the UK. Mm. But I think what he's specifically for The Empire of Death is, and I know this other one's probably going to have a cliffhanger and some spoilers and whatnot too.
Yeah.
Especially for the finale is you're going to be like, oh my goodness. His exact words were people are going to be screaming.
Well, so, yes.
So there you go.
But you got to say that anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Speaking of difference between US and UK broadcasts, in the UK, this episode ended with a title on screen that said William Russell. Memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we didn't get that. There you go.
Now,
we love him anyway.
Now, exactly. And I think regardless, we should have had that. So, you know, just as a nod.
Yeah.
One curious question before, as we close, we do know that there will be a new episode of Tales from the TARDIS, and it will feature 15 and Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
We said when we did not get this and we discussed this, that at the time the BBC was still distributing solely Doctor Who. You know, that's why it wasn't shown on Disney, was because it was a BBC production. Mm-hmm. Well, now that's no longer the case. Will we get it on Disney Plus?
But the Hooniverse is still a BBC thing.
Right. That is true. But if this episode is being produced because it's going to have the 15th Doctor and Ruby, I'm just curious as to, A, excellent point, Clarence, who is producing it and will we see it? Because if it ties in, if it gives layers to the finale, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out in a week or so.
Featuring Mel and Ruby?
A Mel and what?
No, I'm looking at that Google. It says featuring Mel and Ruby.
You know what my brain thought you said? Featuring a Mel in Ruby. Like, as in, like, you sent Ruby in the mail. Like, what?
Yeah.
All right.
So, stick a stamp on her.
For everyone who is in the chat and who is watching us live, thank you for being here. For everyone who is listening to us at some time in the future, thank you for listening to us. And as always, we will be back next time.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.